Let us pray. Father God, we just come before your throne and we bow down. We thank you for this time of fun and fellowship. Lord, we pray that your word would go around the world doing that which you have pleased in this very hour. And Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place and in these vessels. And every foul spirit and every hindered spirit to be bound this very hour in the name of Jesus Christ, we command that it be done. We plead the blood of Jesus against you. And Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the word that we have from the Lord tonight is The Heritage of the Servants of the Lord. The Lord God has a very timely word for us all here tonight. I truly believe it is no accident that this word is coming to us at a time when in the year 2001, just about 3 weeks prior to the events of 9/11, while I was on my way to preach on Friday night, the Lord God spoke to me by way of the Holy Spirit. As I drove, he said to me, "Ye shall be as a tree planted by the river's side." At the time he spoke this word, I said, "Thank you, Lord," because it sounded like a promise of prosperity for our life, health, and ministry. But when the events of 9/11 unfolded, the Lord God reminded me of those words that the Holy Spirit had spoken on that day 3 weeks prior. I then realized that these words were not only for me and my family, but were for all who are of the faithful servants of the Lord Jesus. With all that said, I believe that the Lord is preparing us once more for turbulent times. I believe that these times are just about to be revealed not only to us who dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, but also to the unbelieving and unprepared people of the world at large. I can only say to you here tonight that it is high time that we be read up, filled up, and be ready to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. For as the Lord God has prophesied through me, and I have shared with you all before, destruction is determined, and it is on the way. Suddenly it shall appear. In Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, Jeremiah says, and this is so true for the hour, the very hour, at 7:50 in the evening on Friday, August 24th, these words still ring true. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, the Lord says, I am hurt. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? People, there is a time coming here very shortly that the things that mankind has depended on in this world will soon vanish before their very eyes. Yes, these things will even be things that we as Christians have counted on, but we there again as Christians have not made them our foundation, as the world has. For the Lord God Almighty, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the power, working, and anointing of God's Holy Spirit is our provider. When this time of gross darkness begins to envelop the earth such as never before, we as born-again, Bible-believing, Spirit-filled Christians have a promise from our Lord God, Savior Jesus Christ, which is made possible by and through the power and working of God's Holy Spirit, as stated in Isaiah 54:17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. The word heritage means birthright. It means inheritance. So therefore, the title of our word for tonight is The Inheritance of the Servants of the Lord, if you look at it. In Psalm 61, verses 1 through 5, David says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, has heard my vows, that has given me the heritage. There again, heritage, which means inheritance, legacy, birthright, and belief of those that fear thy name. I'm going to go back for just a moment. Let's look at verse 2 for a moment. He says to God, David says to the Lord God, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock. Who is the rock? The rock is Jesus Christ, who is higher than I, David says. For thou hast been a shelter. A shelter. The Lord gives us shelter in the covering of his precious and holy blood. And for me, he says, thou hast been a shelter and a strong tower from the enemy. He doesn't mention a person. The enemy is Satan and all his wiles and those who follow him. David continues to say in verse 4, I will abide, or in other words, I will live in thy tabernacle. Who is thy tabernacle of God and the tent of God? Jesus Christ. I shall be hidden in the Lord Jesus Christ. I will abide or live in thy tabernacle or tent or Jesus forever. I will trust in the covert, which means hidden, concealed, and secret place of thy wings. Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage, the inheritance, the legacy, the birthright, and belief of those that fear thy name. Who are they that fear the name of the Lord? I say to you that there are no greater displays of faith and godly fear in the name of the Lord God than those than that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In Daniel 3, verses 26 through 29, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Look what the Lord God did for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When all was looking as it was lost, they stood their ground and said, if the Lord comes for us, fine. And if he doesn't, fine. Because we believe and trust in him. And whatever he chooses for us, we will be happy. We'll either be here to make a witness to you, or we'll be in glory forevermore. Verse 29 says, therefore, and this is King Nebuchadnezzar, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. He was made a believer that day. Then there was Daniel, whose name means God is my judge. How do I know? My name, Dana, also being a Jewish name, holds the same representation and meaning. God is my judge. In Daniel 6, beginning at verse 1, and we're going to be there for a while, so you may want to follow along. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. The king is saying that he set these three presidents over the whole kingdom, which was 120 princes worth of kingdom, providences, and they were to come and report to Daniel and these other two presidents to make sure that the king, his kingdom was secure. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because of an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. In other words, he had this thought, I'm going to make three presidents to set over the 120 princes. But then suddenly he had this great idea that, you know what, Daniel has got such a wonderful spirit. I think he should just be over everybody. Well, you know, that didn't go over too good. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find one occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, he had the Spirit of the living God, which is the Holy Ghost, living on the inside of him, and he was faithful unto the king in everything that he did, because he did it unto the Lord God. So therefore, if he did his work unto the Lord God, he could do nothing wrong and would do nothing wrong. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him. Now, this is a representation of Satan and his demons. I want you to understand that, okay? It says, then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask of a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it would be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Remember that saying. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Picking up again in verse 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Meaning all the time. It was nothing new. Then these men assembled and found David praying and making supplications before his God. Aha! Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days shall save thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of guess who? Judah! Those children of praise unto the God, of the one and only true and living God, Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. Now, he got really intense about this. All he could do is get on a one-track mind then. I got to get Daniel. It was the devil working in him. Okay? I'm sore displeased with himself. And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He took the rest of the day and did nothing but figure out how to get Daniel. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, "Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed." Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, now check this out. Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Okay? He didn't say it in a smart aleck way either. He said, thy God, who thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. You know why I know he didn't say it in a smart aleck way? Because this is the next verse. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. I want to stop there right there for a minute. That is a representation of Jesus being buried. Because that's exactly what them men that turned him into the king thought was going to happen to him. He was going to be dead. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his Lord, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Nobody's going to go over there and rip the lid off later and let him out because they like him. He's a nice guy. He's got an excellent spirit. Then the king went on to his palace and passed the night fasting. Okay, that's why I know he didn't say it in a smart aleck voice. He passed the night fasting. And I mean, he neither had instrument of music brought in before him, and his sleep went from him. He was not being smart before the Lord God. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste. That means speedily. That means hurry up. I mean, you're about to trip over your feet getting where you're going. And speedily and went in speedily unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto him, Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. You know who the lions were the princes, the presidents, the ruler, the counselors, and all those who came before the king trying to do Daniel in. God shut their mouth. And you will see why in just a few moments. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him. And also, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him. No. He was exceedingly glad for himself, because he already knew that Daniel served the one and only true and living God.